This week, the next mitzvah I want to discuss is the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, fearing Hashem. This mitzvah is, you find this in the Torah many, many times, that the verse we're basing it off of is in the book of Devarim, chapter 10. Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, fearing Hashem. This is mitzvah, I do, 432. And the mitzvah says in the Torah, Hashem kachatira, you should fear Hashem, your God. Oso savo, you shall serve Him. Vo sidbak, you should cling to Him. Vishmo tishaveh, and you should swear in His name. So this verse happens to...
You should not swear.
You should swear in His name. I mean, if you're swearing, swear in God's name, not in the name of an idol or anything else. You swear in God's name.
How are they defining swear, then?
I thought we can't swear by the name of Hashem unless it's something that you really...
Well, we don't recommend swearing, but if you do, this is how to do it. that's what we do. Swearing is certainly not recommended, and it's not advisable, but if you do swear, swear by God, not by anything else. That's, we can talk about that a different week. But we're going to focus on the first half of this verse, which says, "Es Hashem kechatira, you shall fear Hashem, your God." That's what it says in the Torah.
So what parsha is it?
Parsha's Ekev. 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 Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So you could have said it then. Ekev. So Ekev, it says in Parsha's Ekev, you should fear Hashem. So what does it mean to fear Hashem, fear God? It's one of the most fundamental mitzvahs we have as Jews. It's something which is an all-encompassing constant mitzvah. There are six mitzvahs that are called constant mitzvahs, that there are things that have to be on our mind 24/7, all the time, no matter what.
How do you write the word? Constant.
Constant, always. Those six mitzvahs, as an aside, are belief in God, not to believe in any other gods, the love of God, the fear of God, the unity of God, and not to go astray after our eyes and after our hearts. So those are the six mitzvahs are constant mitzvahs, 24/7, on a Jew, no matter what. So one of those is Yiras Hashem, fearing God. So in general, we look at living in fear as a negative thing. Now, to live in fear means that it's unhealthy. You're paranoid. You're constantly like feeling constrained. You're looking around like, what should I do? Like, a person living in fear, we call it anxiety. We look at it as a psychological disorder sometimes, to live constantly in fear. But we have a mitzvah that we should be fearing God 24/7. So I think we have to try to describe more what it means to fear God and why this is not, doesn't mean living a paranoid lifestyle, but it's something that's very healthy and very important part of Jewish life. When it comes to the fear of God, even though it's a constant mitzvah, there's times where you sort of have it as a subtle idea in your mind, times where you kind of like activate it as an active idea in your mind. So the times that really activate the fear of God is when a test comes your way, when you feel a desire to do something inappropriate, to cheat, to lie, to sin. At that point, the fear of God should come to the forefront of our minds and stop us from doing a sin. So we always have it kind of in the back of our minds, that we fear God, we live life, that we want to make sure that God is pleased. But the time to really actively engage that fear is when you're confronting a challenge. When the challenge is in front of you, you have to really bring out that emotion, that I fear God right now, and that's supposed to cause you to cease and desist from what's in front of you. So that's when we have to engage the mitzvah. But what is this mitzvah? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the idea of fearing God is that the fear of God should be upon us always, so that we don't sin. So it's a safeguard against sin. That's the central point of the fear of God. Mm-hmm. But I want to explain more about its importance and define it more. Because we understand that the fear of God is a safeguard, that we don't want to sin because we're scared of God, we're scared of the consequences. But it goes much deeper than that. It happens to be, if you look throughout the entire Tanakh, the fear of God is viewed both as the most fundamental point in terms of wisdom. It's looked at the goal of all, it's looked at the start of all. It kind of encompasses everything in life. There's a famous verse, Reshis Chochma Yiras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. There's the verse in Koheles, Sof Devar Kol Nishmas Hakim Yara, that at the end, all is understood, and the goal is to fear God. So you have it in the beginning, have it at the end. It says in the Chumash, in the Torah, Moshe tells us, Ma Hashem Lokecha Shol Mimcha Ki Meyira. What does Hashem want out of you? Just to fear Him. That's what He wants out of us. It says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, Yiras Hashem Reishis Das, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, of understanding. I mean, it's constantly viewed as a foundation and as a goal, and really everything in between. This is one of the most central mitzvahs in all of Judaism. So what is it? So in general, a general sense of fear, of what we call yira, is recognizing something beyond me, which is greater than me, and therefore causes me to be in control of my actions. The word yira itself in Hebrew, which is fear, relates to the word ro'eh, which is to see. Yira, ro'eh. The roots of the words. Yud resh aleph is fear. Resh aleph hey is to see. Ro'eh.
There is no yud resh hey. That doesn't exist.
Well, that's not related. There's a word yud resh hey, but it's not related.
Shooting
an arrow. Right, that's yoreh, yeah. But that's a different word. But resh aleph hey and yud resh aleph are related terms, because fearing means that I see something beyond me, and therefore I have to react to it. That's what fear is. I'm reacting to something I see beyond me. So ro'eh and yira are related words. Yira could apply to people, these people we fear. It could also apply to concepts or ideals. I mean, yira doesn't just mean fear, it can mean reverence or awe. So for instance, you know, if you've listened to the news the past week or two, you talk about the reverence of the position of the President of the United States. You know, it's a position that has a certain reverence to it. There's an awe in being in the Oval Office, they think I heard on the news, something like that. But it's not that they fear the consequence per se, but when you're around something which is bigger than life, bigger than you, greater than you, so it causes you to act in a certain way. It keeps you focused, keeps you controlled, keeps you, you know, on target. That's what it does. I'm just going to take a few analogies just to understand the concept in a deeper level. Let's say you are walking near a ledge, and there's a long way down past the ledge. So you're very, very controlled and focused on how you walk. You don't start dancing around and jumping and doing somersaults. You don't do that because you're near a ledge. If you fall, God forbid, then you could be killed. So you're very, very, very careful and very, very focused on how you walk along that edge. I remember when I was in the Grand Canyon a few summers ago. So it was pretty scary near the edge sometimes. You saw some people there that just were wacky, trying to get like a selfie like this, like, you know, like on their heads, like by the, like, you know. So they didn't have much of a year of a fear of that fall. But most people who are in their right mind, when they're near a ledge, they will not do that, and they are focused, and they're very, very careful and deliberate in what they're doing. Why? Because we have a fear of death. We have fear of pain, we have fear of death. So that fear keeps us in line. Let's take another example. Let's say you're a jeweler, and you're cutting a diamond. So you have in front of you a $10,000 diamond that needs to be cut, right? So you have a fear. There's a fear, number one, and usually it's probably because of losing money. Right, that's the consequence, which is, you know, something which is larger than you, which you're very scared of confronting. But some people also have a respect for such a beautiful gem, and they would never want, even if they have plenty of money and they don't need the money, they wouldn't want to in any way ruin such a beautiful thing in this world. There's a fear, not just because of the consequence, which is part of it, but also because there's a reverence for this jewel, which I'm dealing with right now.
Right. Do you use the word yira, being afraid to cut up that diamond, or do you use the word pachad, the fachay?
I think it's more yira. I think yira is more of a, connotes more reverence and awe than pachad is the immediate fear which is there. You know, pachad is like there's an immediate terror or immediate, you know, injury which might happen. I think it's more of pachad. Yira is more of a.
But do people use the word yira in the daily?
I don't.
People
think
use
so.
Them.
I
think it's yira is more spiritually, like fear of God, but pachad is a daily life.
Okay, pachad.
I'm afraid from the terrorists.
Right.
You can say ani yare, but usually said ani pochet.
Right, because again, I think the yira is more of, it's more
spiritual.
Awe. I think awe more than a
more intellectual
fear.
Yaakov, speaking of Esav, uses Yoreh earlier on. Yeah. When he refers to Hashem, he calls him Pachad
Yitzchak. Right.
So there's some interchangeability here.
Right.
At least in the biblical context, but that's where we're reading it.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting to see the contrast. But to me, I think Pachad usually is a more immediate, like, consequence, whereas Yira is a broader feeling of fear and reverence. That's the idea of Yira.
Question, is there a mitzvah fear Shabbat?
The fear Shabbat.
Is it listed in the 611?
It's not the one in 613. There is one commentator that actually has that as a mitzvah, but most do not have that as a mitzvah.
So it is not in the.
Not in the 613. Well, there are several counts of 613. In the count that we're going through, it's not there. Different commentators have different counts of 613. Some of them have. Things vary in the 613. Everyone agrees that you should be careful with Shabbat. The question is there actually a mitzvah in the Torah, thou shalt fear Shabbat? So most say not. So one more example. You have a family heirloom. I don't know if everyone has. You know, my sister has candlesticks that were brought over by my grandmother from Poland in 1929 or something. They belonged to her grandmother. Like, it's the sixth generation silver candlesticks, you know? Yeah. So family heirlooms. And what you when you handle a family heirloom, there's a yira. There's a called an awe, a reverence. Not because of a consequence, per se, repercussions, but more because it's something which is meaningful, it's historic, it's beautiful, and you don't want to do anything that could possibly damage that. So these are all different feelings, what we would call yira, fear. And it's not every type of fear means that I fear a punishment or consequence. You know, fear could have a much broader understanding, that I fear it's an awe and reverence of what I'm dealing with. The one of the great Jewish thinkers of recent times, Rav Shlomo Wolbe, Volbe. In Hebrew, it's Volbe. In English, they call him Volbe. Yeah.
Oh, it's good to know.
If you look at his English books, they print on a Wolbe, W-O-L-B-E. Oh, okay. He has American grandchildren who go by Wolbe, but in Hebrew, they call him Volbe. So, he writes that really every human being has a natural sense of Yiras Elokim, fear of God. Not because they're taught, but because being created as human beings with souls in the image of God. So it's a natural sense of the fear of God. And the fear of God doesn't necessarily mean because I think through my mind that God's going to strike me down. But it's more something which I control my actions because I understand there are standards of society and morality. So for instance, in last week's Parsha, Abraham goes to the land of the Plishtim. And it's confusing which land. It goes to... I don't know, I forgot if it was in Mitzrayim or in Plishtim, which one of them? In Gerar. And he says, he says that Sarah is his sister, not his wife. He says, I was scared you're going to kill me to take my wife. Because he said, I realized, Rak in Yiras Elokim Makom Hazeh. I noticed there was no fear of God here. Now, did he expect these idolaters to fear God in the way that he understood the fear of God? No, but there's a very central human trait of morality, which we would call Yiras Elokim, which means that I have standards of an ethics and morals which I stick to as a human being. And when Avram said this place was so corrupt, they didn't even have that, he got very, very nervous. But Yiras Elokim is natural within us. The nation of Amalek is looked at as one of the most wicked nations that ever exists, not the most wicked nation. They're blamed for their Lo Yarei Elokim. They didn't fear God. Well, what does it mean? Again, did we expect them to fear God like we expect the Jew to fear God? Not necessarily. But they didn't have any basic moral standards that kept their actions in line. And that was a lack of reverence for just the world overall. And that's a basic feeling of a fear of God, which every society needs to have. Because people control themselves because they have some sort of sense of Yira. That's what causes us to control ourselves. Like Abraham says, because you didn't have this, I thought you would kill me. That's what Abraham says. It says in Pirkei Avos, it says that the Mora Malchus, the fear of the government, is a very positive thing, because if not for that, we'd swallow each other up alive, basically. You know, the fact that this society is not an anarchy, but there is law and order, that's something which is, that keeps you in line. It keeps you in line.
What did the Pasuk in Pirkei Avot? What does it say?
It says, Havizar be, I think, Kavoda Shel Malchus, Shomolei Mora'a, not for the fear. Right. It's not for the fear of the Malchut. Yeah, exactly. Right. But so there's an idea that it really just keeps us in the straight line doing the right things. But there's many levels of fear of God. Many, many levels you can have. So the most basic level, the lowest level, is the fear of punishment. That's a very low level fear of God. And in life it's the lowest level. For instance, you know, I'll tell my kids, you know, if you hit your sister, then you're not going to get dessert. Something like that. So it's a fear of a consequence. And there's a fear. It's a low-level fear. It's not because they have any, you know, great philosophical thoughts, but it's just, okay, there's a result. There's going to be a consequence if you do this. And with God, that's true. I mean, we as Jews, one of the foundations of Emunah, of our faith, is that Hashem rewards and punishes. Sin gets punished, and mitzvahs get rewarded. So there's an idea of the fear of God in terms of punishment. That's the lowest level. We understand that God punishes in this world and in the next world. And if nothing else works to keep us in line, that thought should keep us in line, because we don't want to have to suffer consequences of our actions. But there's a much higher level of the fear of God. That higher level we refer to as Yiras Harumimus, the fear of God's greatness. And again, the better translation would be a reverence of God, a reverence of God's greatness, God's elevated status. And that's the concept. You know, that God is so great that in his presence, I just feel small. I feel constricted. I want to meet expectations. Not because of the repercussions, per se, but because I want to live up to his standards, because he's so great. That's something that is not as easy to explain to a kid. But as a kid gets older, you could explain such a thing to them. Like, for instance, you know, when a kid is a kid, or even a teenager, or even in their 20s, per se, it could be the fear of the punishment. You know, I'm going to hold back the money, whatever stage the kid is in. But as you get older, you want to do what's right for your parents, not because you fear they're going to punish you, but because you have such respect for who they are, and you want to please them. And we would call that it comes from love, but also from a reverence for your parents, that you want them to be pleased with your actions. You want them to be proud of you. We want to please God. We want to meet God's expectations, not because we fear his punishments necessarily, but because we understand how great God is, how small we are, and we want to be able to meet those expectations. So this is the type of year of fear, which is a much higher level. It's not because it's just there's going to be a consequence for my action, but it's because I don't want to let God down. We can look at this in several from different perspectives as well. You know, all jokes aside, let's say we were to meet the president, whichever president you want to put right now into the equation. No matter who the president is, no matter how much we like or dislike the president, if you met the president, you would have a sense of reverence, of awe. Because this person, the power, you know...
He disagrees with you.
Not necessarily.
He disagrees.
I don't know. I think no matter who the president may be, I would still feel that in their presence, you know?
Rabbi, in the service,
okay, fine, good. That's a good thing. Nice. Well, right.
Say that again.
You salute the rank, not necessarily.
The office.
The office of the president is an honorable office, despite the one who occupies it. You know, so again, not taking any sides in terms of recent events, but when you're in the presence of somebody who has that rank, let's say.
Which event?
You've been living in a cave, and you know, but. So you would act a certain way. Again, not because you're worried that you're going to be thrown into prison or something, but just because you're around somebody who is powerful and is hopefully honorable and respectable. So you act in a certain way when you're in the presence of somebody great. Let's take a Gadol Hador. If you find one of the greatest Torah sages of the generation and you sit down to a meal with him, he's not going to lash out at you, he's not going to punish you, he's not going to put you in jail, he's not going to do anything. But you'd be sitting here very, very, very careful as to what you did and what you said because you're in the presence of greatness. That's called Yiras HaRoumimus. When you have a reverence for somebody's greatness, the greatness of who they are, of their position, of what they stand for. So that's something which goes beyond the fear of punishment. It's a higher level, and that's really what we all try to strive for, is to that level. God is always with us. God's greater than all these positions, greater than any rank. You know, God's greater than anybody else. So if I always have in mind I'm in God's presence, I'm in the presence of greatness, I'm in the presence of something that's so far beyond me, it should keep me really focused, to keep me really in line, and make sure that my deeds and my actions are proper. And there's another twist to this as well. There's something which some commentators refer to as Yiras HaChet, the fear of sin. Not the fear of punishment, but the fear of sin. I mean, there's an idea of fearing the punishment, the consequence of the sin, but there's also an idea of fearing the sin itself. Meaning what? Because it's a destructive act. I want to maintain my perfection of the world. I want to maintain who I am, and I want to maintain what the world stands for and what I stand for. And whenever I do something which is considered a chet, a sin, so I'm chopping away at that. I'm depleting my own personal perfection. I'm doing something which negatively impacts the world. So I'm not looking necessarily at a punishment, but I'm understanding that this action is rotten. And I don't want to be involved in rotten actions regardless. I want to be somebody who has a higher level. Has a higher status. So we fear that the actions that are wrong will detract from the world and from who I am, and therefore I want to avoid evil, I want to avoid bad. It's called Yiras HaChet, it's the fear of sin. And all these fears all go in the same category of fearing God, but there's the different approaches to it, different levels of fearing God. And I think all of us have all these feelings at some point. You know, sometimes what's going to work for us is the fear of punishment. Sometimes when we're feeling a little bit more inspired, we might think about God's greatness and feel small in his presence. And sometimes we understand that a sin which we're about to do is beneath us and we shouldn't be doing it because of what it is, not because of the consequence. I think we all feel these ways in different times in life. These are all different attitudes and levels of fearing God. But ultimately, living with Yira, with fearing God, that means that I know that God is real, that Torah is real, that God's will is not a game, but it's a reality in life, and therefore I have to be able to grapple with it when I'm performing actions in life. It doesn't mean that I live in anxiety or fear. It doesn't mean that. But it just means that I'm constantly aware that God is a reality and that the Torah is a reality, and I have to be able to always compare my actions to that which God wants out of me. So it's whether it's the consequences, whether it's just the greatness of God, that I might be confronting with a sin. Any of those two attitudes still should make us feel that God is real and Torah is not a game. If we look at these, if we look at God as just a conceptual thing out there, you know, God's like the boogeyman or something, you know. So then I don't have a fear. But I know that God is real. I know that God's word is real. So then I have a constant reverence and awe of my task in life and of God's presence in my life. And that's really what we're looking towards when it comes to Yira. Now, why is it so important? So I think it's pretty obvious why it's so important, but it's always good to clarify and speak things out to show why it's so important. We often like to focus more on the love of God than the fear of God. It feels much better. It's much more inspiring to talk about love than fear. Much more motivating to talk about love than fear. But both these things...
But you come to love from fear. I mean, it's in the similar. You, from the fear, you come into love.
Right. I mean, they both work together.
Yeah.
So there's a quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, which I always like to quote, which I think really describes how the two of them work together. It says that you should serve God from love, lest you come to hate what you're doing. You should serve God from fear, lest you come to cast it all off. Meaning what? That if you, let's say somebody only serves God out of this emotion of fear. So at a certain point, a person can become very depressed, unhappy with life. You're very obedient. It can be robotic, though. I'm doing it not because I feel inspired, not because I love what I'm doing or understand why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I fear God. And therefore, at a certain point, you can say it's enough. You know, I can't live life as a robot, you know, just being obedient, but not feeling any sort of sense of inspiration or motivation or love for God. And a person, even though they have that fear, eventually they would just cast off the lifestyle and say, I can't deal with it because I don't enjoy it. If you serve God just out of love, so what happens? So on a day where you're feeling good, you wake up in the morning, today I'm going to be a great servant of God because I love God. And tomorrow morning, when you don't feel so good, you say, okay, I don't love God today, so forget about it, right? But that's the feeling. I'm not inspired today, so it goes out the window. But the two together are the perfect blend, because on the one hand, on those days you don't feel so good, the fear keeps you going. Because fear tells you that whether you're happy with what you're doing or not, whether you're feeling inspired or not, you got to do what's right because God said so. But if it's only with the fear, not the love, you're going to come to hate what you're doing and cast it off. So at that point, we say that you have to have love involved so you do have an enjoyment and you're inspired by serving Hashem. You have to have the fear so that it remains constant even on those days you don't feel so inspired. That's how the two work together. The Gemara compares the fear of God to a preservative. I don't know what kind of preservatives they had back in the days of the Talmud, but it calls it a kav chumtin. I don't know how to translate chumtin. But chumtin was some sort of preservative they put onto their wheat. It would keep it from rotting and decaying. It's called chumtin. So it says that fearing God is like throwing on this measure of chumtin, of this preservative, onto your food. And preserve it. And the idea is because fear is what preserves our service of God. That, like we said, we don't decay and we don't rot. If we fear God, we're constantly serving God consistently. It keeps us in line, even on those days where we're not so inspired, but it's a preservative. It preserves what we're doing. The idea of Yira, of fear in general, is not just the fear. It's also the consistency and perseverance of doing something. Because the fear of God leads to persevering. That even when things are not so easy, and even when I'm not so in the mood, and I'm not so excited about it, I'm going to persevere and do it because I have to. Because I'm doing what's right, and I fear God, so I have to keep doing it no matter what. The model for this in the Torah, in terms of understanding different traits of human beings, is Yitzchak. Coming up in this week, next week's parasha, we'll talk more about Yitzchak. Yitzchak, in a certain sense, is one of the most puzzling of the people in the Torah. Because he's held up to be one of our avos, one of our patriarchs. But yet, he doesn't do that much. I mean, his big event was in last week's Parsha, which is when he was almost killed as a sacrifice. But that we give the credit to Avraham more than Yitzchak. We always talk about it being Avraham's big test. Yitzchak was willing to give his life for God. But beyond that, after the Akedah, you don't see much of Yitzchak at all that seems too exciting. He gets married.
There is little in the Torah.
So I'm thinking very little. Yeah, it's very little. It's very mysterious as to why. What did he do?
He's very passive.
Yes, he's very passive. He, we see him getting married, but he's passive in that as well. We see him digging wells. We see him giving blessings to children. That's about all we see Yitzchak doing. He also had an incident. He went down to Egypt, and the same thing, to try taking his wife. It's the same incident that Abraham had. But beyond that, we don't really see the greatness of Yitzchak per se, reading the Torah. But the way that's described by many great Jewish thinkers is the following, that Yitzchak's role in Jewish life was not to have an exciting life. His role was just to keep on doing the right thing day in and day out and persevering, despite that there's no fireworks and no miracles happening and nothing too flashy happening around. Avraham's life was filled with all sorts of excitement. You know, he was born as an idolater, and he was thrown into a furnace, and he was told by God to go to Israel, and he had 10 tests, and he experienced miracles, he fought battles against kings. It was a very exciting life. Yaakov as well. Yaakov had a very eventful life. You know, he had his 12 sons, and he went to his uncle Lavan's house, and he had to fight his brother Esav, and all sorts of things happening with Yaakov. He went to Egypt and met with Paro. Yitzchak doesn't, you know, his life seems to be very boring in many ways. But that's exactly the point. His job was to persevere. Yitzchak's midah, we refer to his trait as being a trait of, we said pachad before, yira, strength, fear, those are his traits. Because those traits mean that I persevere even when things aren't that exciting. I keep doing what's right day in and day out, despite the fact that there's nothing here which is so inspiring or so out of the ordinary today. I still do what's right.
And that was Yitzchak?
That was Yitzchak, yes. That's why Yitzchak is associated with this idea of yira, fear, because fear means also that you're going to persevere even when things aren't that exciting, because you're doing what's right, not because you're excited about it, but because God told you to. And that's where fear comes from.
What does Yitzchak represent? I know Abraham is chesed.
There is Gvura. Gvura is Yitzchak. Pachad, Gvura
is Yitzchak. Pachad, Gvura is Yitzchak?
Yeah.
Also Gvura.
Din, it's also Yitzchak, all those ideas. Abraham is Chesed and yes. Ahava, Abraham, right. And the Gemara also says that it talks about how you have the Torah, and then it says, Yiras Hashem Yotzaro, that the fear of God is the storage house for Torah. I mean, if somebody studies Torah but has no fear of God, so the Torah will not remain with them. That means that, number one, they won't be able to apply Torah properly. They don't want to, and they won't be able to. They won't understand Torah to its truth because they're not going to be careful and precise in the understanding of Torah. And a person like that is very careless. That yira, trying to engage yourself in a mitzvah or to apply Torah in some way, is done in a very careless manner. But yira is what is the safeguard for Torah. It means that we can understand Torah properly because we're careful with every single word. We don't want to misconstrue something, because this is God's word. Be very careful. Every single word makes a difference. That's yira. It means that when we apply Torah, we be careful applying in the right way. So if somebody's asked a halachic question, you need to have yira to answer it. Because if you don't have yira, if you don't have any fear of God, you'll answer it whatever comes to your mind first, it may be way off. Torah has to be packaged properly in a container of the fear of God, of yira, or else it can be misused, misunderstood, misconstrued, corrupted. So, and that's the problem is when you find somebody who's studied a lot but doesn't have any fear of God, that's where the worst events happen in Jewish life, comes to people like that. So that's the idea. It says, Yiras Hashem Yotzaro, that the fear of God is the otsar, it's the storage house for Torah. So that's the importance of yira. Now the question is, so what do we do? Like, how do we achieve levels of yira? How can we grow and have more of a fear of God? What do we do? So we mentioned before how yira is related to roah, to seeing. Meaning that we have to have an ability to see God more in life, to see the importance of God's Torah, to see the greatness of God, to see the consequences of our actions. We have to have a more of an understanding and a vision, let's call it, of what's around us. So how do we do that? So one point I have here is from the Rambam, Maimonides. So the Rambam asks the question. The Rambam says, how does one achieve, what is the path to the love of God and the fear of God? So the Rambam says the path to the love of God and the fear of God is the following. He says, at the time when somebody contemplates God's deeds and God's incredible creations that are great, and he sees, or she sees, the wisdom in these creations that is infinite, that's unending, immediately a person grows to love God because you see the beauty of God's world, view of God's creation, the wisdom of God, so you have a love for God, that I want to connect to this great being that is so beautiful, that knows so much, that does so much, that creates such a beautiful and complex world. And then it says, and you praise God, and you have a strong desire to understand God's great name. Like King David says, "Sama nafshi l'Elokim," that my soul thirsts for God. That's step one. That's the step of love. And then he says, this is where the opposite emotion comes in. He says, when you think about these things, miyad hu nirsa l'chorav, he says, immediately you jump back and you have a fear. And you say to yourself, that you know you're a small, meager creature, shvela afela, you know, dark and humble, standing with a very small mind before the one who he calls Tamim Deos, with perfect understanding, before God. So thinking about God's world is one method to understanding and loving and fearing God, because you look at the beauty of the world and you say, wow, this world is amazing, it's gorgeous, it's so complex, it's so perfect, it's such a great balance. I wish I can get to know the one who created it much better. And you say, wait a minute, whoa, you know, God is so great, he knows so much, he's infinite, he's all-powerful, and who am I? Little old me, I'm so small. And then you jump back and you have a fear of God because you see who you are in relation to this great being. And that's what he quotes from Tehillim. He says, that's what King David tells us, Ki era shemecha maseh bosecha, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I then say, my enosh kisis karenu. What is a human being that he should be remembered? So at that point, a person is able to step back and see how small they are in relation to the big world around us. So that's how the Rambam says one can achieve the fear of God. The love and fear go together in that sense. But it's looking at it, and so I've spoken about many times in this class how looking at nature and seeing the beauty of God's world is such a powerful thing spiritually, because we can appreciate how beautiful the world really is, and how complex it is, and how large it is, and how it all functions together. That creates a desire to come closer to God, who's so great, and it's a fear that we have to step back and realize how great the world is, how small we are.
Marabu Masecha
Hashem, exactly.
In Bet Yaakov, in the Machberet Geografia, Marabu Masecha Hashem, to see the nature and to feel how great
right.
is God.
Right, so that's the Rambam is saying, exactly what he's saying. So that's one way to learn how to fear God. Another path to fearing God is more Torah study. Because the more we understand the Torah, the more we understand God. And the more you understand the God, you understand how great God is. The more you understand what a mitzvah is and how to do a mitzvah, the more careful we are performing a mitzvah. And Torah study is a great way to grow in our fear of God, because the more one studies Torah, the more we're in awe of God's wisdom and God's greatness. So Torah study is another pathway to growing in the fear of God. And also sometimes we have to contemplate, they're not pleasant thoughts all the time, we have to contemplate reward and punishment. And we have to understand that all of us, at a certain point, have to account to God everything we've done in life. And that's a very sobering thought at times. And if we're able, can we stand before God and account for our actions or not? And everybody, after 120 years, will have to do that. And the goal in our lives is to be able to stand before God with pride and confidence and say, God, I've done my best. I've worked hard in life and done the right things. That's always our goal. But when we have that thought process even now, that creates in us a fear of God, because we know that ultimately we have to go and account for our actions in front of God. So it takes time to think and contemplate, and we have to really think about it in a serious way. Every person has that time in life, after 120 years, God willing, that we stand before God and have to account for our actions that we've done. And that's a thought which does bring out really the yira, the fear in all of us. It takes time and contemplation, but ultimately it helps us really grow in understanding what we have to do in life. It keeps us in line. So in general, we like to focus much more on the love of God, and it's a much more positive discussion, much more inspiring, much more motivational. But having this fear is so essential to Jewish life. And in a way, the fear is much more fundamental than the love, because the fear will keep us going at all times. We said it's a preservative, it keeps us consistent, whereas the love doesn't do that. But at the end of it all, both emotions are essential. I think we once had a class on the love of God a couple years back, probably somewhere in the online archives, but I think we had that. But ultimately, the image of a Jew is both emotions together, the love and the fear. And just one way I've heard that depicted, just to give an analogy to it, you know, picture somebody dancing with holding a Torah on Simchas Torah.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, there should be a great joy that I'm dancing and I'm excited. On the other hand, there has to be a reverence that I'm holding a Sefer Torah here. I can't lose control of myself, but I don't want to drop it, and I also don't want to disrespect it. Mm-hmm. So you're dancing with excitement and love, but yet you have to be very, very careful. I've heard a similar analogy if you're dancing with a baby on your shoulders. You know, yeah. So on the one hand, you're excited, but on the other hand, you're very careful. You know, you don't want to lose control and be a little too wild with the baby on your shoulders. So ultimately, that's the image of a Jew. And then that's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says in Tehillim, Gilu Bira Ada. You should rejoice in trembling. Rejoice in trembling. How do you rejoice in trembling? It's that image of the person dancing on Simchas Torah. Gilu Bira Ada. That's the pasuk. Right, fear and love come together. And then that's our goal, is to be able to take both of these emotions together and live life feeling both that love to come close to God and that fear to stay in line at all times.
So this fear is a constructive, it's a positive, it's a proactive fear. It's not a fear for getting anguished or frustrated or...
Sometimes it might be positive. It should never make a person depressed, because it's the fact that I'm in the presence of greatness is what I'm looking at. Being in the presence of greatness doesn't depress you.
Presence of the ultimate.
Right. So never, that should depress you. It's something which motivates you to a certain degree, but it should not create anxiety.
I don't like the word fear.
I want to tell you a short, tiny story for half a minute about my son. He came from Ner Israel home, and he used to run to Mincha. I never mentioned the word Mincha. One Shabbos, maybe the first time in my life, he fell asleep and he did not get up to Mincha. And when he got up, he said, "Why you did not wake me up? You saw it's late. If you knew that I have to meet Clinton, you would wake me up?" And he was told, Hashem, how did he call it? And here I have a meeting with, how do you call the name of Hashem? Melech Malchei HaMlachim, you did not wake me up. I can't forgive you. I said, "Oh, but what kibbutz? Please, I wanted you to sleep." Because he was so exhausted.
Right.
And he always jumped. And I said, "If he sleeps, he's sick." Oh boy, so
that's the quintessence, right?